Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcata Economics on Monday afternoon at 4:32 p.m., which I imagine has a little bit of a smile on your face today because as we pull up our gold and silver prices, let me get the right tab here. Excuse me a moment on that one. And you can imagine that the prices have been up quite a bit today. And here you go. They sure as heck are because now we have gold up 110, almost $111 on the day, and silver, one of the bigger days. I think we had a $3 day a couple months back, but meantime, silver's up over $2. Certainly a substantial day. Certainly with gold up over 100 bucks, same case as well. And of course, I know it's not getting perhaps as much attention today as a couple weeks ago, but still think that's significant to see the silver price back over $50. Anytime silver goes over $50 is significant. And maybe the key takeaway, I guess you could call it today, is that especially got up to 54, we saw pretty severe sell-off. Don't think it ever got quite the extent of the sell-off quite as much as that one we saw back in April. Probably close at this point, but certainly encouraging to see a move like this because anytime you see a big rally, obviously, if you're long silver, that's exciting news. And then when you see the price plummet, especially if you're a longer time gold and silver investor, and remember the, let's call it 2013 to 2019 or 20 time period, where when we saw those sell-offs, often was not just a short-term correction, but you'd see the price substantially lower for a couple of weeks or months at a time. And here to see it rebound after that, I think really encouraging. And here's the thing. I mean, if there's ever been a market where the price moves are not perfectly linearly correlated with the news that comes out, obviously that's silver. So I would say, and I don't know, maybe there's someone out there who knows what silver's price is going to be next week. I used to try and figure that out, never did. But I think more important, especially if you're a stacker, is that yes, there's going to be moves up and down, corrections, both ways. Yet, I mean, I would suggest that anyone who tells you, oh, the correction's definitely over, it's not going lower or it's going back higher, I think anyone who says that is to some degree guessing. Yet, if you accept that there is going to be this volatility, which we've been talking about all year, and I would suggest you should continue to expect to have that type of volatility. So, how do you really distinguish? And, you know, over the shorter term, I don't know that I have an answer for you there, but if you take a step back, look at the things that are happening, and then think, all right, based on all this, is what brought us here resolved over a longer term? And I keep going back to that question I've mentioned before, where 5 or 10 years from now, based on what you see happening in the world, do you see it, the price being higher or lower? And again, not that people are only investing for 5 or 10 years, but I still think there's a lot of value in asking that question and thinking through the steps to arrive at your answer there, because then when you think, okay, is there an action to be taken here, or what do I expect, or when silver's down 6 or 7 bucks in a couple of weeks? And that's why we talk a lot about what we discussed this morning and previous days and weeks here on the channel about how, you know, we've had 55 million ounces go back over to London. The free float is up to 213 million ounces. So that has jumped where it was down about 140, 150 million ounces when the London concern sprang up. As we talked about this morning, now China is running low on their supply. And of course, this is within the greater context of we're in a deficit and continue to see industrial demand records set. I think we'll probably see another one, or at least close to last year's record for 2025 as well, which is why the price is going to go up, the price is going to go down. Yet, is the dynamics that brought us here, which you could say a lot of it is driven by the silver and gold that's gone into the ETFs, Well, I mean, look at what we have, and we'll get to it right now. I was wondering what CNBC was saying about the move today. Here, gold hits 2-week high as weak data boosts rate cut expectations. So take a quick look here, and you can see in terms of our next meeting in December, which I think we get another one of those fun dot plots where the Fed will give us their latest predictions. Basically stating that their last set of predictions was wrong and that they're going to cut interest rates further, and somehow that's going to bring inflation down. Either case, you can see we're down to or up to 64% for another rate cut in December. And if you look further out here, I would suggest, I mean, given that you have Trump nominating the next Fed chair in there, man, only 50 basis points lower by next July. I guess that we're under that. Again, I think it can't be overlooked. This is happening before we've had the overt crisis. Now, as you want to say that we're already in a recession in real terms for quite a while, I think there's a good case to be made for that. Yet, we're not in something like COVID where the governments are panicking. The Fed's coming out launching the new QE package, although they have hinted at it, and they've been injecting liquidity over the last couple of days. So whether is that another Q, not QE, QE? We'll see. But either case, here is what the curve looks like today. Interesting to see on Robert Gottlieb's post, former JP Morgan Precious Metals Managing Director. He mentioned the same thing. Many expect that U.S. interest rates will move lower, fueling the next wave of buying and putting renewed pressure on the U.S. dollar. And what else can you say? I mean, it hasn't changed since yesterday, but you see what's coming. Won't get into all the Trump administration officials talking about their need, I guess you could say, to have a lower dollar index. Bob also mentions here we saw another 1.3 million ounces of silver withdrawn from the COMEX on Friday. Even though it still doesn't make economic sense to ship metal back to London, that's something that we have talked about in terms of the narrowing of the spread. And here you can see the spot price 50.52, the futures at 50.42, let's call that. I guess you could round this up to 50.53. So about a dime in backwardation, which means that as opposed to when that got up to 295, $3 range, where there was a greater economic incentive to ship metal back. And that's what Bob is referring to there, is that as that spread has come back in quite a bit, you would think that we won't continue to see as much metal go, and certainly something that we'll be keeping an eye on. But fascinating things happening. And in terms of the gold side, again, we have the rate cut expectations, but another sign of is what we've seen over these past 2 years likely to continue. I don't know that this is conclusive, but worth mentioning here. Money Metals had this central bank gold buying hit highest level of the year in September. And you can see 39 tons, up 79% month over month. And that brings us to a total of 634 tons through three quarters in 2025. Now, we did have over 1,000 tons for the previous 3 years. And if we're three quarters of the way through, this puts us, so let's call it eight on pace for 850. Although, of course, if we get more rate cuts than expected, or even more talk about rate cuts, or if people even realize and remember, well, whatever they cut this year, we still got Trump's nomination coming up. So I would imagine that has a lot to do with it. Plus, also the situation with Russia and the West escalating over the weekend. I'll dig into that later this week. Apparently, Putin's showing off new nuclear devices, which obviously is not ideal. And I have many thoughts on the whole, or I'll share a quick one here, where it's all these, not any specific side or country, but you have these people who get elected into office to serve the public, and yet what we end up is generally some form of, well, you did this to us, so we're going to get you back bigger. Other side says the same thing, and we continue to see these things escalate over and over again. Sad to me that You don't have people in there. I mean, that wouldn't that be the job to say, like, okay, I understand there's tension here, but we're gonna find a way to resolve this. And it doesn't seem to be the way government works. So either case, in the midst of that, as we continue to see us heading into, as Vince Lanzi would say, a more mercantilist world. Touched on this briefly this morning, but just wanted to go through a couple of the highlights because here on last Thursday, Donald Trump called critical minerals a key priority as he hosted leaders of five Central Asian nations: Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan. And in case you're not sure exactly where those are, that's this region here. And obviously, right under Russia, a little bit to the east of Ukraine. Yeah, well, I don't know if I should or should not speculate. There's a lot of talk out there that the natural resources in Ukraine factors into the West's support there. Maybe that is the case, maybe not. Just I hear that a lot. And now Trump trying to do deals with some of the countries over there. And one of the key items on the agenda is critical minerals. I thought this was interesting here because the president of Uzbekistan called Trump the president of the world and proposed setting up a permanent secretariat in Central Asia. So, again, we had the news last week, silver officially a critical mineral. And I think it's one of those things that happens and, you know, on channels here. And for people who are watching this, you're aware of it yet. I get the feeling as I read through things like this and think more about it, where, well, this could be bigger than just a couple bucks in the price, where if we're already in a deficit, we're already having supply issues, now even the governments are recognizing the importance. Does that guarantee some sort of panic at some point? No, but given the tightness already, and that you have this, and that one's, remember, when governments get involved, all of a sudden price doesn't matter anymore because they're playing with someone else's money. So anyway, we'll see how that shakes out, but something worth keeping an eye on. And gonna keep it short today. Just wanted to share a few thoughts, especially as we see the stunning rally in the price today. So again, hopefully you're smiling out there. And real quick before we wrap up, did want to thank First Majestic Silver on this one, who actually had their earnings out last week, which came in with some really good news. Obviously, the timing on their Gatos deal has worked out well. And the fact that you have silver price above $50 now and has been above 50 earlier this year, obviously. First Majestic at that same time, record quarterly silver production, record quarterly revenue, increased mine operating earnings. Here is the big one, the record free cash flow. Again, obviously that's with the combination of Gatos in the company, but certainly, you know, when you look back a couple of years with First Majestic when things weren't going as well, Jerritt Canyon. And I know a lot of investors were down on First Majestic back then. And obviously, there were some things that hadn't gone well. Yet I remember thinking that, all right, not everything goes perfectly. Although Keith did build this company from scratch to where it was. And let's see how management responds when they're faced with some challenges. And either case, so it's great to see the news here. And here we have the net earnings that came in 43 million, earnings per share of 6 cents compared to a net loss of 9 cents in the third quarter of 2024. So a lot of positive things happening in the quarter for First Majestic. Oh, yeah, I also want to mention lower cash cost and all-in sustaining costs down by 1%. So the link to this press release, in case you missed it, in the description field below. Also put out a short video about this on Friday, and you can take a look further through there if you have not seen what was going on with First Majestic's earnings. But with all that said, I do hope you're having a wonderful afternoon out there. My apologies if you logged in for the Fortuna call earlier today. I missed that. He had to reschedule it for Tuesday, so we'll be going live with Jorge Ganoza of Fortuna tomorrow at 3 p.m. And that said, gonna wrap up for now. But hope you enjoyed the rally today. We'll see what tomorrow holds, and I'll check back in with you then.